From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Yo, 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 what is up, beautiful people? And man, oh man, is it a gorgeous day outside or what? You know, I always say it's a beautiful day in mid-Michigan. You know, many times I mean it figuratively because we all know the brutal winters that we have here in the area. But hey, today it really is a beautiful day, folks. It's about 70 degrees. The sun is out. The birds are chirping. You gotta instantly be in a great mood. And hey, we are so honored and so grateful that you have allowed Current Sports to be a part of your Friday afternoon. As always, I am your host, Al Martin. And today is a bittersweet day because engineer right here at WKAR for a long, long time, Alex Sharg, bids us all adieu. That's right. It is Alex's final hoorah, final show. And we encourage you all to call in if you want to say some great things and send them off in style, 517-355-9527. Amidst all of the Alex Sharg goodbyes, we'll be chatting about the Red Wings. We'll also be chatting about the MSU baseball team, Delton Williams, Reflection Friday, all of that and so much more. But hey, let's start this party like we always do. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners for this April 17th, 2015. All right, here we go. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners to close out your week. Michigan State University announced in a press release yesterday that Matt Costello had successful surgery. Now, Costello was, of course, bothered by a knee injury all of last season. While the knee didn't cost the junior any time on the floor, he said it became more and more of a hindrance as the season wore on. MSU said Costello will be out a couple of weeks before resuming full basketball activity, so he got his knee scoped and cleaned out. Wishing Matt Costello well. All right, the man who accused Michigan State's Delton Williams of flashing a gun after a March 16th traffic incident wrote a letter to the Michigan State Police asking that the charges be dropped. Now, the Detroit Free Press reported that the alleged victim said he Googled Williams after the incident and discovered that Williams' older brother was actually shot and killed on December 6th of last year outside of a tavern in Erie, Pennsylvania. The victim's letter told police, quote, "I wouldn't want him to be thrown out of school over a silly mistake he made in a moment of fear. I believe he will learn his lesson and move on to better things," end quote. Very interesting story there. All right, the Detroit Red Wings. How about those Wings, folks? They defeated the Tampa Bay Lightning 3-2 in the first game of the seven-game series. The Wings were led by Pavel Datsyuk, who scored twice in Peter Mrazek's 44 saves. The Lightning outshot the Wings, get this, 46-14, and still got the W. Game 2 is at 3 p.m. tomorrow. All right, Luke Glendening's third-period backhander goal was number one on SportsCenter's top 10 plays this morning with 58% of the fan vote. How about that? Now, the former Wolverines' goal ended up being the game winner in the Detroit Red Wings' opening round playoff win last night. It was a sick goal. If you haven't seen it, hey, just go on your laptop, computer, or smartphone device and Google it. Pretty nice goal, I must say. All right, the Detroit Tigers, they scratched Victor Martinez from today's lineup after the designated hitter, was spotted wincing after striking out during Tuesday night's game. Now, manager Brad Ausmus announced Yoenis Cespedes will be tabbed as the DH today against the White Sox. Beat reporters tweeted that Martinez was taking swings during batting practice this morning, and the belief is he's being held out as a precaution. All right, Erica Kinsman, a former Florida State University student who has accused football star Jameis Winston of rape in the past, she filed a lawsuit against the Heisman Trophy-winning quarterback, her lawyer said on Thursday. Now, Winston's attorney, David Cornell, said in a statement, quote, "The stunt was expected. False accusations have already been exposed and rejected six times. This time will be no different. Mr. Winston welcomes the opportunity to clear his name with the truth." And really bad timing, seeing as though the NFL draft is now just moments away, just days away, folks. All right. Oh, boy, I hated to watch this video. ESPN reporter Britt McHenry, she has been suspended for a week after video surfaced of her berating a parking lot attendant. McHenry was angry about having her car towed and verbally attacked the attendant's education, looks, and weight. McHenry issued an apology via Twitter and said, quote, "I allowed my emotions to get the best of me." Man, if you haven't seen that video, I think being suspended for just a week is really just a slap on the wrist. And last but certainly not least, the NFL announced yesterday that the Minnesota Vikings running back Adrian Peterson will be reinstated to the league. Now, a statement released by the league read, "Adrian Peterson of the Minnesota Vikings was advised today that effective tomorrow, he is reinstated as an active football player and may participate in all scheduled activities with the Vikings. The question now remains, will he remain a Minnesota Viking?" Well, those are your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in and give your thoughts on any of those, you know that number, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. Leave us a comment there. You can even tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR. But without further ado, it's time to dive into the nitty-gritty of today's show. Gents, again, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527. Call in and share your thoughts on anything that is on that sports noggin of yours. We'll be taking your calls, of course, as customary here each and every weekday at 1 o'clock all the way up until the end of the show at 2 o'clock, all right? So call in. Again, if you're a little shy, you can just go to facebook.com/currentsports, as I just stated, or tweet me at AlMartinWKAR. We'll be taking your calls all hour. And, of course, this is a really bittersweet day here on WKAR's Current Sports because I tell you what, even before I began sitting behind this mic, this man was here long before me, okay? He has spent really the majority of his college career right here at WKAR on the campus of Michigan State University, holding it down as an incredible assistant and personality here for Sports Talk, is what the show was named and dubbed before I got here and we enacted Current Sports. And then during that transition, as Earl Robinson, the great Earl Robinson, who was behind this mic for 39 years when Earl retired and I got the job and we named it Current Sports, Alex continued to be a part of the new wave. And he has done one outstanding job. I can't believe now this month we're actually marking my two-year anniversary that time is that it's already been 2 years. I mean, time has certainly flown. And today really puts time in perspective because Alex Sharg will actually be crossing the stage at the Breslin Center next month and getting that oh-so-important piece of paper, getting his degree. How about that? Congrats to Alex Sharg. And with that, of course, comes new transitions in life, meaning that he will be moving on away from WKAR to pursue bigger and better things, I should say, down in the great city of Detroit, Metro Detroit, that is. So, of course, today marks Alex Sharg's last show. I want to invite him now to the show, the man behind the glass, for one last time. Alex, how you doing?
Well, man, a lot of thoughts flowing through my mind right now. It's hard to process. It's weird even just looking straight through you here in the glass because there's a totally different studio with a lot older of a board, a lot older, different faders, and now it's crazy how time has flown by, and I just remember being this little bitty sophomore, as Apache yesterday said, and so obviously a lot to learn and obviously growing up, and it's been one heck of a ride.
So that's when you got it. You actually started as a sophomore here.
Yeah,
at Michigan
as a
State.
Sophomore.
And of course, helping out with Earl. I'm curious, Alex, for those that don't know the story, and I do know the story, tell the story of how you actually got involved here at WKAR.
Yeah, so I was a student at Michigan State, and when I was a sophomore in the fall, I was able to be involved at the Impact Student Radio Station.
Right.
It's Impact 89 FM. It's on campus, 88.9 on the FM dial. And at the time, before Gary Reed, who's now the director of broadcasting for WKAR, Gary was the old station manager, or general manager, excuse me, mm-hmm. of Impact 89 FM. And at the time, the current engineer, hope everyone follows me so far, the current engineer at WKAR Sports Show was the station manager at Impact. So Gary Reed was the general manager of Impact,
mm-hmm.
and the station manager of Impact was Aaron Young, who was kind of the first engineer here. And I auditioned for the sports show over there at the Impact. And I started hosting that show, and Aaron one day, I think he brought me up to Reed. He said, "Hey, Reed, take a listen to this guy." I think they listened to some of my tapes, and before I knew it, I was brought in. I shook Gary Reed's hand. He said, "Say, hey, so I hear you're going to be helping out with our sports show at WKR." I said, "Okay, great." So that's kind of how it happened, and I've never looked back since. I learned from one of the best. I don't want to give away too much now. I want to save a lot for at the end of the hour. But
we'll put it in that Pandora's box right
now. Yeah, but no, basically, how I got involved, I started Impact, and Reed was named the director here, and I think Aaron kind of passed my name on to him, and I think Reed also knew my high school program director over at the Biff at Andover High School. So, it's been a long train of networking, and it's great to, I don't know if it's great to finally end here, but it's great to
it's bittersweet. I'm
it
sure
is
because
bittersweet,
you know now that, hearing you talk and kind of capitalizing this moment right now, I always go back to when it's making me think back in 2012 when I actually graduated from Michigan State University. And I tell you what, graduation is kind of a joke because it's like, okay, you go from this uber busy guy, you're like you got a lot going on, you're involved in this and this and that. I had a lot of internships, and then you're walking across that stage, and you're like, "Oh my gosh, I got to find a job now,"
Right.
And it's kind of smack in the face, like, "Okay, Michigan State certainly turned you in from a boy to a man." And now, of course, you'll be crossing that stage next month. And again, folks, Alex Sharks' last day here at WKAR's Current Sports. Again, we encourage you all, if you want to, call in and give them a great send off. Again, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. And who knows, you may even have a few special guests right here at WKAR to say a few words. So going to be an interesting show as we proceed here throughout the 1 o'clock hour. But hey, let's start this show by talking about the Red Wings. My goodness. Wow. I was glued to my TV, actually. Watched that entire game. I was flipping back and forth between that game and also the Pittsburgh Penguins and New York Rangers last night. That was also pretty entertaining. The Rangers, man, I tell you what, that is a solid team, folks. But talking about the Wings, I mean, the Detroit Red Wings, of course, they defeated the Tampa Bay Lightning in a 3-2 game last night, the first game of the 7-game series. The Wings were led by Pavel Datsyuk, who scored twice, and Peter Mrazek's 44 saves. Wow. I mean, very impressive outing for Peter Mrazek. Of course, Peter Mrazek being 23 years old, he was ordained as the starting goaltender before this series started by Mike Babcock. It was, conversated left and right who would be the starting goalie for this squad to start the series, Jimmy Howard or Mrazek. Of course, Babcock decided to go with Mrazek because he has just been playing, honestly, just better in recent times. Jimmy Howard dating all the way back since the All-Star game in that groin injury. I mean, he just hasn't been the same. And it was impressive watching Peter Mrazek out there, because if you look at it, what really stood out to me that I really noted, that pretty much everyone out there could see this, is that, the Lightning, man. I mean, I see why this team is among the league-leading teams when it comes to scoring, because they get after it. They attack you left and right. When you look at the total shots on goal, 46 total shots on goal for the Tampa Bay Lightning. I mean, that is unbelievable compared to just 14 for the Wings. But the thing about it is, I mean, the Wings were certainly efficient when it came to their shots on goal. Actually, their first shot on goal happened to be a score. I mean, it was unbelievable watching the change from back and forth and seeing how Peter Mrazek just kind of he handled himself. He handled himself really, really nicely throughout the stretch of that game. And again, first shot on goal, after the Lightning had four shots on goal, Pavel Datsyuk, he was assisted by Darren Helm to strike first blood. And, when you look at it, of course, Brian Boyle, he scores on a shorthanded goal in the open ice. Zdlicky had the turnover. Then from there, Tampa Bay, they were still getting a lot more shots on goal throughout the first period. Then the Wings score early in the second period on a power play opportunity. Again, Pavel Datsyuk assisted by Darren Helm. Once again, those two were very active throughout that game. So the Wings, even with a lot going on throughout that game, and of course their goaltender, young goaltender, having to shield off a lot of shots, the Wings were efficient with the opportunities they were given. Very impressive outing. Alex, what do you think about the Wings looking at last night's game? Because, I mean, this is the start that you want. Even with all the cards stacked against you, all the experts picking Tampa Bay to win the series, this it has to be very encouraging for this team.
Oh, absolutely. They're playing with a huge chip on their shoulder. And guess what? Hockey's all about sometimes bounces of the puck, and they got a lot of those bounces. There were so many chances that the Lightning had on net against Mrazek, and sometimes they weren't even Mrazek's great saves. A lot of them were just open nets, and they got deflected down low by some of the defensemen or the Wings. So
right.
Overall, I mean, a huge win, a huge momentum away at Tampa Bay against your former player, Steven Yzerman, your legend of a player for the Red Wings. So
huge
win. I think that Hockey Town is kind of revving up the engine and is kind of riding on the team.
Yeah, and as Richard Kincaid on Current Sports TV said last night, it is certainly weird for many Wings fans out there to root against and have to root against Stevie Yzerman, a Hall of Fame player for the Detroit Red Wings. But hey, you know, it's all about business at the end of the day, and the Wings certainly handle business. So, I mean, this is the kind of start you want now. You know, you get a win on the road. The momentum sort of shifting now in the Wings' favor. You know, anything can happen in hockey. And even though the Lightning are still favored in the series, I still do think, right, I gotta stick to my guns here. I still do think that Tampa Bay will respond and eventually win this series. But hey, I've been wrong many times in the past before, folks. And if Pavel Datsyuk can have consistent efforts like this as the series goes on, man, and then looking on the other side, looking at, of course, the goaltender for Brian Boyle, Bishop, the goaltender for the Lightning, I mean, gosh, I mean, he didn't have the amount of pressure on him that, again, looking at it, for the Wings, goaltending-wise, that Mrazek had on him. Because when you talk about looking at the shots on goal, again, 46-14, I mean, my goodness. I mean, yeah, I mean, again, the Wings, for me, the most impressive part about last night is the way they were able to handle themselves in that situation, being on the road, game one of the series. So, hey, we'll see if this has a trickle-down effect. Let's go to our phone lines right now. We actually have Russ White on line one. Russ, how you doing?
Good, Al. How about you on this beautiful, pure Michigan day?
Isn't it gorgeous? I just want to go out and just enjoy the weather right now, Russ. I'm probably going to jet out here right after 2 o'clock.
I know, and I got to say first, Al, what a great job you're doing following in some big footsteps of the Hall of Famer Earl Robinson. It's great to be listening, and I had to call, though, on my boy Alex's last day. I'm so glad I tuned in. I've been around Impact Radio a long time, and what this guy has done with Impact Sports is just amazing.
Yeah. Isn't it really amazing? And, you know, it's like single-handedly almost. I mean, he's just gathered a lot of students around campus and really put together a realm where the student body, you know, is really just reporting on sports, those interested in it. He's opened up
an
entire forum.
Alex, I'm going to do my best to help keep that legacy going with our buddy Ed Glazer there, because you've just done too much. And now what are you going to do? Do you got something going?
Yeah, I'm moving back to Metro Detroit, and I'll tune into the end of the show. I'll talk a little bit about it.
Okay, good. I'll wait and listen, but I just wanted to tell you how much I respect what you've done, and you really stand out among a lot of great impactors. You're one of the best ever. Congrats on your graduation, and it's been a pleasure to cross paths with you.
Russ, that means the world. I'm so glad you listened, too. Thank you.
All right, see you guys.
Thanks a lot, Russ. Appreciate the call. Again, folks, Alex Chargs, last day. If you want to call in and give the man a big salute, please do so. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We actually have another caller right now. The caller is just coming in on line two. We've got Dan Cryer. Dan, how you doing?
Hey, Al. How you doing, man?
Fantastic.
This is such a great day. Honestly, you summed it up. There's blue skies, 70 degrees, and it's so bittersweet because everybody loves Alex Chargs.
Right.
And everybody just has it in their heart how much they love him and how much they've learned from him and how much fun we've had with him over the last few years. You know, last night I was hanging out with my buddy Ryan Smith and Casey Hogarth, and we were just talking about how much fun we have. And you know what? I'm excited for the future for Alex because, and I know he's going to talk about it soon, but I just want you to know that, like, I'm so proud of you, Al, for doing such a great job on the radio. I'm so proud of Alex. Just, and he, you know, he's going to go places, and
right.
So are you. So I'm just so happy to be friends with you guys.
That is great. Dan, you're about to make us tear up here, Dan. And, you know, Dan, you really know Alex. I mean, you guys have been very good friends throughout your college careers. I mean, Dan, you got a favorite Alex Chargs story you can share?
Careful.
Well, you got one, Dan? Pick wisely here.
He's just growing up. That's all I have to say. He's growing up. And I'm older. I'm a grad student. And it's just, like you said, the day that I got, here's the thing about Alex and me. The day that I got to Michigan State, I worked the Boise State game, which was in 2012.
Right.
Okay, and Alex and I were in the press conference for the Chris Peterson, and we just said hi. And the very next week, we were in the same visitors press conference, and I was like, "Hey, what's up, man?" And from that moment on, we switched numbers, and we have not been friends since that day. So I can't remember a moment of Michigan State without Alex. That's what I want to say.
There you go, Dan Cryer. Hey, Dan, appreciate it, my man.
Yeah. You guys keep up the good work. I'm really happy to hear you guys on the radio.
Certainly. Man, I tell you, what Dan just said here.
It's too much.
Who doesn't like Alex Sharg, man? Because it's been so amazing, folks, to, again, to work alongside Alex. Again, Alex and I, you know, dating back to when I first got the job here, he welcomed me with open arms and got really showed me the ropes when I had never done radio before. And, you know, since then, we've gone on some unbelievable trips, going to, if I can remember here, you know, the Big Ten championship game. Football championship game between Michigan State and Ohio State. We've covered now two Big Ten basketball tournaments, one in Indy, one in Chicago. We've been to the Rose Bowl, what happened to be my favorite trip out of all of them. And then, of course, summing things up with the Final Four, last week. But man, oh man, has it been quite a ride? We actually got another caller right now. They're coming in. We've got Mike from Saginaw on line one. Mike, how you doing, my friend?
How you doing there, Martin? What I was going to tell you, the best trip you ever took was to California, huh?
Oh, man, the road. There was nothing like being out in Cali, Mike, for the Rose Bowl. It was absolutely unbelievable out there. And we spent like a week out there, reporting on all the pregame activities leading up to Michigan State and Stanford. Unbelievable trip, Mike. I'll never forget that one.
Tell me when you hear about California and especially that part of the area, the place you went to and you was disappointed or surprised by?
I was surprised, not disappointed. I don't think anybody who goes to California, let alone Los Angeles, California, will ever be disappointed by that atmosphere because it's so lively, so many people being down there. And, of course, you know, being down there as a reporter and reporting on Michigan State's first return to the Rose Bowl down there since the 80s, I mean, the atmosphere was absolutely off the chain. It was great to see the countless Spartan fans who made that trip. My eyes were blown away. I was blown away, Mike.
Did you go to the ocean?
No, we did not. We didn't get to go to the beach. We actually spent a few days while we were down here. We put together a Rose Bowl special, of course, for Current Sports TV. We went to, like, the Hollywood sign. We went to the Strip and filmed some things there. We didn't get to go to the beach, but, hey, nonetheless, I mean, it was just unbelievable being down there.
Let me ask you this. Did you see the women that you see in the movies and all that stuff?
I wish. I was sitting there looking for Halle Berry. I tell you that, man. You know, I have the biggest crush on Halle Berry. I'm sitting there like, okay, if she walks, I'm going to lose my mind. I'm going to meet Halle Berry one of these days, Mike. And when I do, let's just hope I don't end up in the hospital, okay? Hopefully I don't faint. But, no, we didn't see any celebs, though. No celebs.
All right, man.
All right, Mike.
Hey, let me ask you a couple of questions before I let you move on to other callers there.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you about, since Swinigan going to Michigan State,
right.
I heard he said he's going to be a one-and-done guy. He was hoping that he would be doing. I said, you know what? I thought about, I was watching Soul Man about Sonny Vaccaro.
I saw that last night, Mike. Yes, yes.
I mean, I just freaked out the way he was explaining stuff, man. But I just can't believe how much power he had. He's not working for no university. He's just working. He's just a freelance. He started freelance and started getting these coaches to know these high school prospects. He held camps for them and got sneaker deals for them. And I just couldn't believe in 4 years, and I assume he's retired right now, but how much power he had over these coaches, and the coaches would ask him if these players are bad people or they good people or whatever.
Yes, yes. No, I was actually...
I just got a kick out of that. I really did, man.
I did too. Mike. You know, I sat back. Again, there was so much good TV on last night, and actually my plan was to, after the Wings game, to go out to Planet Fitness and get my workout on, but I saw that the Soul Man 30 for 30 premiered last night. I had DVR'd it because, of course, I watched the Wings game and watched that after. I'm like, all right, I watched like 30 minutes of this and then head out. I was so glued to my television watching that documentary that I ended up watching the whole thing and ended up going to sleep right after the documentary. But, again, it was so amazing to see a man who I knew nothing about leading up to that taping and to see Sonny Vaccaro and to see how big he was. I mean, he was the guy.
Yeah.
When you talk about high school recruiting and basketball, Sonny Vaccaro was the number one guy. And,
yes,
you know, the shoe contracts, getting Michael Jordan in the room, He had an opportunity with LeBron James. He signed Kobe Bryant, Tracy McGrady. I mean, it was absolutely unbelievable. It became one of my favorite 30 for 30s.
Oh, yeah.
And to go back to your point about Swanigan.
I got
to
ask you one more thing before I let you move on. You know all the people that Izzo recruited, like Cliff Alexander,
right.
Jahlil Okafor, and Tyrese Jones, all of them going pro. So I guess Tom Izzo, he really missed out on some of the players that he wanted, and they just leaving after 1 year anyway. So I bet Tom Izzo said, I made the Final Four. I didn't need them anyway.
Right, and that's a very good point. You know, in looking at it, as far as to your point about Swanigan, I don't know if Swanigan is going to be a one and done guy. I haven't heard any reports that he's saying, you know, I would like to go to the NBA after 1 year. Right now, we'll just have to see if you know, because the kid looks very, very good. I mean, he's a 5-star recruit out of Fort Wayne, Indiana. He looks very talented. But as far as him voicing and coming out, yeah, I want to be one and done. I don't think I've read that at all, Mike. But he can be. I think he has the potential to be that type of a guy. And again, looking at Tom Izzo, as you just talked about, you know, that's the point I wanted to make. Mm-hmm. The fact that Tom Izzo is able to get guys who may not be, you know, the 4 to 5-star recruit guys right out of high school, sure, but can still lead them deep in a tourney. I mean, just imagine, yeah, if he had that gold to play with, if he had that Cliff Alexander or Willie Cauley-Stein or Tyus Jones to hone that talent. I mean, we may be talking about 2 or 3 national titles right now, Mike.
Yes, we would, man. And, you know, you familiar with Crystal Bradford? Because I was watching the WNBA draft yesterday. She got drafted by the Los Angeles Sparks. She's the number one draft choice. Did you know? I wonder if you ever heard of her, because she went to school in Inkster.
No, I have and not heard about her. No, I have not, Mike.
Jewel Lloyd, she is great, man. That Zawi B, she got drafted the second player pick from Minnesota.
Wow. Right. Mm-hmm. No, yeah, I had no idea. I'm going to have to do some Googling.
She got drafted, too, in the first round.
Okay. All right. I might have to check that out.
All right, then. I'll let you move on the show, man. Rich Ellis Shaw is blessed. And it was great that he got this experience, so he'll probably be famous down the road. Don't forget about us, Alex, okay?
Don't forget about us, man.
Hey, Al and Mike, you guys are the big guys right now, man. I'm going to be
Alex,
searching.
Put me on your payroll, please. Please do later on down the line.
Please,
hey, Mike, always a great call.
I appreciate that, man.
All right, Mike.
I appreciate it. Moving along.
All right, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Yes, Alex, please put us on your – one day, I mean, yeah.
Oh, stop it.
I'm telling you,
hey,
dude.
Hey, you're the guy. You graduated college. You got the plan. Come on.
I'm still trying to climb the ship, my man. I'm still trying to climb the ship, all right? I'm just trying to swim, not sink, all right? Phone lines are open, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we'll be chatting with a man who knows his stuff, Matt Argelanger. That's right. He'll be chatting about MSU baseball. Yeah, state news sports reporter Matt Arlegander. Excuse me. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Armin Alney. On the next To The Point, SeaWorld's been hit with a new round of lawsuits, and Ringling Brothers is retiring its elephants. Americans are increasingly troubled by the use of animals for spectacular entertainment. The industry's feeling the pain. With evolving attitudes about animal intelligence and emotions, what's the future of zoos and aquariums? Next time on To The Point from Public Radio International.
To The Point, today at 2 on AM 870 WKAR.
Oklahoma City's thunder.
It brought the city together. We were all Oklahomans, Okies. Everybody had everybody else's back, and that has lasted.
20 years ago, a bomb blast put America's heart in the heartland. For the people of Oklahoma, it has never left. Next time on The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI, Public Radio International.
The Takeaway this afternoon at 3 on AM 870 WKAR.
Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this beautiful April 17th, 2015. Hopefully you all are having a great one out there. Again, I can't believe it's already Friday. Time flies when you're having fun, folks. The weekend is almost here. Wow. Well, again, it is Alex Sharg's final day here on Current Sports. One incredible tenure here at WKAR. He will be graduating and getting his undergraduate degree as he walks across the stage next month at the Breslin Center. And again, we've had a few callers out there wishing Alex a great farewell. Again, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. We actually have a caller before we get to our guest for today's Current Sports. You know who it is, my man Ray. Ray is on line one. How you doing, Ray?
Alex, goodbye, but my friend. I got to drive to Lansing next week to go to Flint. Stay off the road so I don't run you down.
I will. Those are some wise words there. I will do that.
Hey, I want you to break down in that piggy bank and buy that sweet Reggie for your friend.
You've been talking a lot about it, you know, and I've checked it out, and I will definitely save my money to buy it. Yeah.
All right, it's only $20. You can break down that much.
I know. Yeah, I got VNL Martin's payroll to get that.
No.
Well, he can give you a raise before you go, you know.
Yeah, I heard. Let's talk about that.
You guys are busting my gut right here, right now. I'm dying laughing over here. Yeah, please don't run Alex over, Ray. We don't want that.
I'm just teasing. I go to Flint every once in a while. We're trying to sell my mom's home, so I got to go up there and get some business taken care of.
Gotcha.
You guys read that blessing about my mom, didn't you?
Yeah, yes.
Okay.
Yes. Well,
she's
Ray.
A godly woman. But I just saw that. Checking. I just got done jogging here, and I got to take me a shower, so I thought I'd call you guys. I had to say goodbye to Alex.
You have to, because, Ray, you've been a regular caller here for years and
Ray,
years. And
you've been a caller since Earl Robinson.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, way back. I mean, I used to call from Flint when I was a big Michigan fan. I used to call that 20 years, and then they'd rip me for rooting for Michigan. So now they rip me for rooting against them.
Well, hey, Ray, you are.
You can't win either way, you know.
Yeah.
You can't win either way. But you know what, I just wanted to tell you guys, you do a great job, and God bless you, Alex.
Ray, that means the world. Thank you. Thank
you,
Ray.
I'll pray for your family.
Thank you, Ray. Yeah, definitely.
Thank you, Ray. Always a great call. Bye-bye. Gotta love Ray, right? I know you're going to miss Ray a lot, Alex.
And no, he calls in every day. I always have a great conversation with him. Definitely.
Fantastic.
Miss him, Ray.
Fantastic. Again, folks, call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Well, let's invite our guest for today's Current Sports. Let's get back to talking some sports here amidst all of the Alex Char goodbyes. State News sports reporter Matt Argelander. That's right. Matt has been reporting on the MSU baseball team all season. We've got him in studio right now to chat about where this team is headed. Right now, the MSU baseball team is eighth in the Big Ten Conference, 4-5 overall in the conference. Matt, how you doing? Welcome to Current Sports.
Good, you got it right that time, Matt.
My gosh, I hate when I butcher names. Matt, apologies, but yeah, Matt Argelander, my man. That's a cool last name, too. It sounds like a Transformer, okay? I love it. But Matt, talk about this team. I mean, you've been following this team pretty much all year. Again, eighth in the Big Ten. Overall analysis of what's going down so far with this team.
Yeah, I mean, they're a team from the North, so they always start their season in the South. They're playing indoors most of the beginning of the season. They're practicing at the football stadium. They're practicing at the indoor football complex. Mm-hmm. And so they spent that depth perception. It takes them a while to get used to that at the beginning of the season. And you can tell, honestly, in their schedule, because they started off pretty poorly. They were struggling to find offensive consistency. But honestly, I think they're just now hitting their stride. And in Big Ten, their first two series, they went 1-2 against Ohio State and Illinois. And it's a really good Illinois team. I mean, this is a top 15 team in the country. Mm-hmm. And then, so after that, since then, they went 2-1 against Northwestern, and that was most recently. They've got Rutgers coming up, which I think they'll definitely take care of business there. And honestly, their 4-5 record in the Big Ten doesn't even count the two non-conference Big Ten games they played against Michigan and Detroit and Northwestern earlier in the season, and they won both of those. So really, I see them at 6-5 in the Big Ten.
Well, when you look at their most recent contest, I want to talk about the Clash of Comerica. They actually went 1-1 down there. You made the trip down there. They beat Michigan, lost to Central Michigan University. Really an interesting game against the Chippewas because they had a 7-0 lead going into the eighth. Chip scored 2 in the eighth and 6 in the ninth. What happened in that game, Matt?
It's hard to say. I mean, this is a team really playing their best baseball. They just came off of a great victory over Michigan, and they had a 7-0 lead. I think it's honestly just a just you got to give CMU credit. They came back. They rallied. I think this is a good Michigan State team right now. They're hitting their stride. It's just you got to give CMU the credit.
You know, when I looked at that final score of that game, the reason why it was so shocking, not only because, I mean, again, CMU came back, you know, after a 7-0 deficit going into the eighth inning, but looking at the track record for the Spartans in close games, I mean, the Spartans are 7-4 in one-run games this year, and 30-13 in one-run affairs over the last three seasons. With the exception of what happened against CMU, Matt, why has this team been relatively good in tight situations down the stretch of games?
I think it starts with Hart and then Jeff Kinley, the closer. He's a great closer, and I really want to talk about the Hart because I've seen this team play a few times, and one instance that really sticks out to me, and even though it was a loss, they, in their final game against the Illinois series, a team that was at the time 15 in the country, right now they're sitting around 12 in a couple of different polls. They were losing 10-2 heading into the bottom of the seventh, and then they brought it to within one at 10-9, and they ultimately lost 13-9, but they came back from a 10-2 deficit and brought it to, a close. They made a game out of it in the ninth.
Right.
And you really didn't think that was going to happen that day. They looked awful the entire first seven innings. And there's just a lot of heart in this team, and I think that's probably their best quality, and that's what helps them win late.
When you talk about those qualities, of course, I always say a team is an extension of the coach. Of course, Jake Bosch Jr. is one of my favorite coaches in the area. He really instills a lot of values when it comes to this squad. As far as having that chip on your shoulder, representing a blue-collar type of a mentality, what would you give a grade to as far as Jake Bosch Jr.'s job with this team thus far in this year? With still a lot of baseball to play, let's be honest here, Matt. We'll talk about Jake Bosch Jr. for a second.
Jake is great. I think he really – the team and Jake have a really good relationship. I think they listen to him. You can tell that they want to play for him. And I think he's done a great job. It's tough being a team from the North. I talked about that a little bit earlier, but it really is tough. It's hard for people to understand because you're playing indoors. You're playing on a football field. You're practicing, and then you go down south and you spend your first – month and a half, 2 months of the season playing in away parks. You don't get to play at your own ballpark until 20 games into the season.
Right.
And so it's tough to get that start. And I think, honestly, he's done a good job. He's kept them floating at about 500. And I think now they're just now starting to take off. They've won 7 of the last 9. I think he's done a good job. I'd say it's a B right now with a chance to improve.
Yeah, certainly. And you talk about that, of course, teams in the South. I mean, they have the luxury of having better weather, of course, than states up here in the North like Michigan, right? Do you think that's an unfair advantage? And is the NCAA trying anything to sort of equal that playing field in any regards?
It's definitely an unfair advantage, but I don't think you can equal the playing field. It's just how the world works, I guess. I mean,
it's the nature of the business, right?
It's cold in the North and it's warm in the South. So, I mean, the only thing they really could do is start the season later, and that doesn't work at all because unless they completely change the time of the baseball season, because you're not going to ask a bunch of college kids to spend their entire summer playing their sport.
That is very true. Matt Argelander, of course, sports reporter for the State News, the Michigan State baseball team right now, 19-16, 4-5 in the Big Ten. Of course, they start a 3-game series against Rutgers starting today, I believe, at 3:00. Now, Matt, how confident are you that the Spartans can sort of right the ship and change this thing around with still a lot of baseball left to play?
I fully expect them to take care of business in New Jersey this weekend. I honestly wouldn't be surprised at a sweep. Like I said before, I think this team is really hitting its stride right now. It's going into its prime. They've won 7 of the last 9. They played a really good UCLA team earlier in the season, and UCLA swept them. They played that really tough Illinois team. And so it was just taking a little while to get it going, to get the gears going and get the gears turning. But they just swept an Oregon team. They beat their rivals in Detroit. It's really a good time for them right now. They're having fun. They played in the Crosstown Showdown about a week ago.
Right.
This is a team that's got the camaraderie. You can see them having fun. They're getting hot. And I think, honestly, you should expect something out of them.
Now, of course, when with the Spartans playing Rutgers this weekend, the Spartans are making their inaugural trip to Rutgers as the two programs will meet for just the 10th time and first since March of 1989. Wow, MSU is 7-2 all-time against Rutgers with all 9 games being played at neutral sites in Florida. Now, you know, when talking about the chink in the armor for the Spartans, what must they improve on as the season moves on, Matt? What have you seen that they need to work on?
Honestly, I think they began to work on it, but earlier in the season, their problem was offensive consistency. They'd
right.
have games where they'd lose 3-1, they'd lose 3-1 again, then they'd lose 3-0, like, and then they'd have a game where they win 9-2. So it's really it's tough because of, like I said, that whole starting the season off in the South, it's tough for them to get it going early. But I think they've gotten their offensive consistency. Right now they have four batters hitting above 300. They've got two floating in the 290s. And earlier in the season, I could remember a time when they didn't have a single batter hitting in the 300s at the beginning of the Illinois series. And now they have Weist, Checky, Gibson, and Krill all hitting in the 300s, and Richardson and Salter hitting in the 290s. And Krill is really on a tear. He's just been dominant lately. In that game against Northwestern, he had 5 RBI.
Wow. Now, I got to ask, what's your evaluation of Big Ten baseball thus far? Because you look at the top of the conference, Illinois and Iowa right now are tied at just 8-1. Only one loss for both of those respective squads in the Big Ten conference. What's your outlook on Big Ten baseball this year? How competitive are they compared to other conferences in the nation?
I don't think it's one of the best conferences. It's solid. You have to give a lot of credit to the Pac-12 is really good. They have UCLA in there, Southern Cal. Arizona State is also a really good baseball team. The Big Ten is quality, though. There's Iowa, there's Nebraska is good, Maryland is quality, and I think they're doing okay. I think a little bit of a surprise is Ohio State. They went just 10-14 in conference last season, and they're at 7-2 right now. And Minnesota is on a little bit of the other end of the spectrum. When they were kind of a middle of the pack team last year, 27-24, 13-11 in conference, but now they're just 13-19 and 3-9, and they had a lot of young players that I thought might step up, but it doesn't look like they will.
Any surprises this year in the Big Ten?
I would definitely say that Ohio State just probably racing out to 7-2 after being a sub-500 conference team last year, and I was expecting Minnesota to turn the corner, and they've all kind of went the opposite direction.
All right. Well, when it's all said and done, what do you think the Spartans will finish in conference, Matt?
In conference, I expect them to finish around the 4 mark. They'll probably fall short of Illinois and Iowa, and then end up placing ahead of either Ohio State and Maryland, who are at the 3-4 spots right now.
So you do think they will catch Ohio State and Maryland, huh?
I do think they'll catch one of them. One of them will probably end up being ahead of them, but definitely I think they'll end up catching them.
All right, my man Matt Arlegander. Matt, how can people follow your work?
You can follow me at Matt ARGI on Twitter, or you can check out the State News, pick up a copy all around campus, or you can check out the State News website and just search my name at Matthew Arlegander, MattArgillander.
Fantastic job, man. Thanks for joining me today, all right?
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me on, Al.
Let's hit our second break. When we come back, we will chat about some new revelations concerning Delton Williams and his gun case. Interesting story. We'll chat about that in just a second. Of course, it is Alex Sharg's final day here at WKAR. The tributes will continue. Don't touch that dial. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870.
From warmongers to peacemakers, London Bridge to the Great Wall, join me on a journey to the places, people, and events that shaped our world today.
We must make the pledge that we shall always march ahead.
Hi, everyone. This is Mike Worf, inviting you to hear the visual sounds of Kaleidoscope, Saturdays at 4 p.m. on WKAR AM 870.
Welcome back to Current Sports. As always, I am your host, Al Martin, on this beautiful Friday afternoon. Man, oh man, I tell you what, folks, I just can't believe it still hasn't hit me yet that this is Alex Sharg's final day here at WKAR. And again, as I stated before the second break here on the show, at the tributes keep rolling in. Right now we have in studio current state's own Scott Pohl. Scott, how you doing?
I'm great, Al. How are you?
Oh, fantastic. How can you not be great with that weather outside, right?
It's a beautiful day. I'll tell you what's not great today, though.
What's that?
It's Alex's last day.
Yes, yes.
I must say that, you know, I don't work all that much on the sports show. While I do have something for next week that you might want to use. We can talk about
it. Yeah,
we'll
talk about that, yeah.
But Alex Sharg is one of those guys that it's always a pleasure to see him here at the station. And, you know, a guy my age, let's just say I'm older than maybe you and Alex put together.
Stop it, no.
It's always fun to hang out with younger people because they can make you feel one of two ways. Younger people can make you feel younger, or they can make you feel really, really old. And I got to tell you, you and Alex do not make me feel old.
Good. That's
you
a
guys
good
bring
thing.
An I energy hope so. Level. Yeah, you guys bring an energy level to a conversation that sort of takes a few years off my back. So, Alex, I can only wish you the best. You're one of those guys I know and knew from very early on. You have a very bright future ahead of you. We're going to miss you here. And I just wanted to wish you all the best. Thanks for everything you've brought to WKAR. You're a great guy. Good luck.
Thank you. That means the world, man.
He's blushing.
Too many thoughts, man. I'm blushing. The biggest smile, left or right. I can't take this.
Scott, really appreciate that. And again, I just can't believe, you know, Alex is one of the guys, I said this earlier on the show, that when I first got the job here at WKAR, I mean, he's just so welcoming. Welcome me with open arms, and he's been my guy, my right-hand man here at WKAR for now, 2 years, which I can't believe. But, yeah, I think everybody's going to miss Alex, and you never hear a bad review about that guy, right?
That's right. That's right. Good luck to you, man. Hang in there. Keep us posted on how you're doing, and don't be a stranger.
Yes, I will be visiting throughout the next few months for sure.
All right.
There you have it. Current state's own Scott Pohl. Scott, thanks a lot for coming in. All right, folks. Well, we have about 14 minutes left in the show. Again, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527. Alex, really a quick talking point here. You know, I found this story very intriguing, to say the least. Now, of course, you know the Delton Williams story. For those out there listening, of course, Delton Williams, who was suspended and put on leave from the MSU football team due to an incident on March 16th, a traffic incident in which he brandished a firearm during a traffic, I guess you can say, road rage incident, I should say. Now, the man who accused Michigan State's Delton Williams of flashing a gun after, of course, that March 16th traffic incident, wrote a letter to Michigan State Police asking that the charges be dropped. And the Detroit Free Press reported that the alleged victim said he Googled Williams after the incident and discovered that Williams' older brother was shot and killed on December 6th outside of a tavern in Erie, Pennsylvania. Now, the victim's letter just to read an excerpt from that letter, you know, this is what it said. Quote, "I wouldn't want him to be thrown out of school over a silly mistake he made in a moment of fear. I believe he will learn his lesson and move on to better things." Alex, how surprising is this story for you?
It's definitely surprising, man. And to hear about Delton Williams' past with his brother, I had no idea about that. And, you know what? There's two things that cross my mind. One is, wow, there's definitely that feeling of compassion there, and knowing that it's a very confusing time for anyone. I still don't know where my path is going to take me, and it's a confusing time, a lot of soul searching time. So that's one side. And the other side is, would you think that maybe this guy is a big Michigan State football fan, and when he saw that Delton Williams, he's like, oh, I don't know if I want him to be out, and I didn't get hurt. He drew a gun, but he didn't fire me. But part of me also wonders, okay, maybe this is, I want our star running back to return and play next year. So,
yeah.
You know what? Overall, though, I mean, I'd hope it's the first one. I hope it's the feeling of compassion and the fact that there may be some psychology behind his decision making, and all the best for him. I mean, it seems like this was definitely a good thing in his direction for Delton Williams, and I think everything's looking up from here. So let's hope that nothing like this happens again. Not just for the sake of the football team, but for the people of East Lansing and the community here.
Yeah, I think when this story first came out, I think the knee-jerk reaction from many out there who read about it was that, okay, Delton, come on, man. That's pretty idiotic of you. Why do that? But I always say that there's always, in many instances, not every instance, but in most cases, there's always a background to every action. And, you know, I think that, you know, this individual, the man who accused Michigan State's Delton Williams of this, coming out and writing this letter is showing that, I do believe that, you know, looking at the letter and the excerpt from the letter, it seems as though this is a compassionate individual. And, you know, I really found it very refreshing, to be honest with you. I had no idea. Me, honestly, I had no idea that Williams' older brother was shot and killed on December 6th. Very sad case right there. And so I can kind of see, I mean, yeah, I think if my brother had gone through something like that, I maybe taking some precautions as well. But, you know, and this is a story where I really hope, because you always want the best, always believe in second chances. I really hope that we see Delton Williams on the football field next year and that he is reinstated, no matter whatever game it is. I really feel for the individual because, again, with reading the story and not knowing that his older brother was shot and killed, I can see the mind state of where, and the mindset, I should say, of where Delton Williams was possibly going with this whole thing. So, but I found it very interesting. And, it'll be interesting to see how this story develops and whether or not the football program takes another look at it and says, okay, Delton, don't do it again. Let's get back to business now. So we will certainly see. Folks, just 10 minutes left in the show, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Also a very interesting story. Erica Kinsman, a former Florida State University student who has accused star football player Jameis Winston of rape back in the day. Of course, the charges were dropped and settled. She has filed a lawsuit against the Heisman Trophy winning quarterback. Her lawyer said on Thursday, Winston's attorney David Cornell said this in a statement, quote, the stunt was expected. So they expected this. False accusations have already been exposed and rejected 6 times. This time will be no different. Mr. Winston welcomes the opportunity to clear his name with the truth. Now, if I'm an NFL GM, NFL owner, NFL coach, looking at this story that comes out really just days before the NFL draft, Alex, I don't know if I want to deal with the baggage that comes with drafting Jameis Winston. We've seen this man have multiple moments of what in the world were you thinking, dating back to the crab legs incidents, to standing on a student union table and yelling obscenities. We've seen him have moments of idiocracy that when you look at an NFL player now or any player in professional sports now just trying to make that leap to the pros, you have to take into account the C word, character. With this story coming out moments before the NFL draft, as an NFL exec, do you really want to deal with the attention that it brings? Because this could certainly be a distraction if you do draft this man. I do think he's very talented, and I do think if given the right mentorship and with the right work ethic, he could become a very good player in the NFL. I do think of a team out there will take a chance on him in the first round, but it'll be the developments that come with that and the baggage that comes with that. I don't know if I want to be one of those guys drafting him. I don't know.
Right. No, and that's the thing is, after Marcus Mariota, who's the next best quarterback? And regardless of the baggage, it's Jameis Winston. I mean, there isn't a quarterback nearly as close to what he's done with the combine results, closely as what he's done on the field. At the end of the day, the talent speaks for itself. And there
so how big does character weigh in that factor, though?
True, but that's the thing is, look, there have been plenty of players that have had off-the-field issues in the NFL draft. I mean, look at last year, how many first-rounders had off-the-field issues. So that's kind of how I look at it. Even the Lions draft picks. I mean, look at the guy from Oklahoma State, the tight end. He had off-the-field issues when he first got drafted too, Brandon. So that's the thing I when I look at this is it's kind of a common trend, sadly, when it comes to a lot of football players today, whether it's concussions, whether it's you know, PEDs, whether it's, you know, criminal misdemeanor charges. There's always something lurking in the first round.
Yeah, I just don't know if I would want to deal with it. I don't know. If I'm a franchise out there and I'm trying to build my program and make sure they're 120% focused going into next year, drafting a player, first off, who plays the quarterback position, which in many regards is the most important position on the field, let's be honest here, and looking at his off-the-field issues, to have this come out right before the draft, I do think that this will hurt Jameis Winston. To what extent, I don't know. I still think the man will be a top 10 pick. I just don't know. And in many regards, you can't place yourself in the shoes of many execs out there, because I'm sure there are many, many NFL personnel out there that will look at a story like this and say, okay, but as you just said, Alex, he's ridiculously talented. We could build our franchise around this kid. We're just going to just cover our eyes and hope for the best of what happens in this case off the field. So I don't know. We'll see, though. It would certainly make me put on my red blinking light, I tell you that. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Our phone lines are open, just 5 minutes left in the show. And hey, with 5 minutes left in Alex Shark's tenure here at WKAR, well, we decided to put together a pretty touching montage of Alex's some of Alex's best moments here on the show. Funny, comical, debatable, all that kind of stuff. So here it is. We got to send Alex Shark out in style, right? Alex, you will be missed, my man.
Anthropomorphic. A-N-T-H-R-O-P-O-M-O-R-P-H-I-C. Anthropomorphic.
I got it.
Nailed it.
Yep.
Wow.
Boom.
Hey, that was pretty impressive.
Thank you.
Okay,
you know,
all right.
I did win my fourth grade spelling bee.
That was pretty good.
Out-of-state recruiting over the past 2 years has been astonishing. I think it's a lot with Marduzzi and Burton doing a lot with visits. They've made a majority of the visits on the defensive end. But Blackwell, I mean, I know he graduated from Baylor.
I'm going to need a second on this. Need a second.
Furious Googling, furious Googling.
I'm going to give you 10 seconds.
Okay. Netiq. N-E-T-Y-I-Q-U-E.
Oh, man, you guys are killing me. No, that's wrong.
I agree, he was more consistent. But Chris Paul is just a better point guard.
No, oh, not at all.
Who would you attribute to the Clippers' success? Would you attribute?
Did you see Blake Griffin this season? Blake Griffin.
So you think Blake?
It's the reason why Blake Griffin is on the second team.
So you think Blake Griffin is the reason why the Clippers?
But
were
it's
successful?
Part of the reason.
Not Chris
part
Paul.
Part of the reason. Those two hand in hand were the reason that they were successful
without
this
Chris.
Season. Without Blake Griffin, the Clippers don't come near the success they had this season. Blake Griffin I think Blake Griffin deserves the most improved success.
They don't, that's, so he is on
and
the best
he can
team.
Score, he plays deep. What doesn't Tony
so
Parker do?
So he has
do?
Great players. That was my original
no,
point.
Chris Paul has great players too.
He has some,
come
but
on.
Not as great as,
stop
as Tony
it.
Parker.
Stop
the thing,
if that's
aspect.
The case, then Matt Stafford on the line is one of the top five
don't
quarterbacks
even.
In the league because he has the top
not,
five accolade.
Even, that, this doesn't even make sense,
if you
Alex.
Don't,
that
if,
makes
if,
no if, sense what you're saying right now.
It completely does. You're saying that of course they should weigh clutch moments, but if Matthew Stafford is such a great quarterback, we all know about all the clutch moments he screws up. But if you look at his pure stats, he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. It's been a pleasure being the host today on AM 870 WKAR.
Alex, thank you very much, brother. I really appreciate you serving your time there. I remember when you first started, the road was real bumpy, man, and we could hear your lack of confidence and so forth, but you've really grown, and you really mellowed out, man. And you went toe-to-toe with the man. and won a couple of battles, you know, and so I want to congratulate you. I really miss the three of you guys together. I thought you guys... When you went at each other, you really brought out a lot of knowledge for the audience. But I still think, Alex, you missed your calling, man. You should be a DJ.
thank you, Pasha.
No, really, man.
I'm humbled.
You play some beautiful music, man. You took me home a few times, and I really appreciate that.
So I'm going to send you off into this break with a little bit of World Wednesday music. That's right. Every Wednesday, we play some world music on WKAR.
Good luck, young man, and I hope things go good for you, man.
Thank you, Patrick. Appreciate it. Wow.
Yes, some of the best moments from Alex Shark's tenure here. Well, Alex, what I'm going to do, I'm going to step aside here right now.
Oh, man.
I am going to hit this button. It has been a pleasure working with you, my friend. I'm sure when we're old and gray, we'll be talking about a lot of moments
yeah.
here at WKAR. But what I'm going to do right now, I'm going to turn off my mic, and you've got the forum for it to close out the show for a minute and a half. Say whatever you need to say. I'll miss
wow.
you. Love you, man. Do your thing.
Thank
Do your
you.
Thing.
First of all, thank you for the montage. I mean, those are some great moments from the spelling bees we've had and all the callers and listeners over the years. So many, I mean, there are so many people to thank for my time here at WKAR. And with only a minute left, it's hard to name all of the people that have kind of helped me here. But most importantly, I have to thank the listeners, you, the people. And without your support, I wouldn't be here at WKAR. And especially during this pledge drive week, it's super important to continue, you know, what we've started here in public media and public broadcasting. I think that's super important, and I've really appreciated the mentorship of you, Al, and of course, Gary Reed, who's kind of derailed me from when I was a little infant freshman all the way up until a senior. It's been a great ride, and
the experiences. I was able to cover a Rose Bowl as a student, the Final Four, an Elite Eight, the Big Ten Championship four times. I've gone to Illinois to cover football games at Illinois. It's been a fabulous ride, and I couldn't do that anywhere else but here. So I owe it to you, Al, Gary, everyone else here at WKR, the community. Everyone has always been super supportive of me ever since I was first acquainted here as Earl Robinson's board op. And hey, I guess I got to give it to Earl too. I mean, without Earl, I mean, he taught me everything I know. And I think without Earl, I wouldn't be what I am. So thank you, all the listeners. It's been a pleasure serving you.